But as we begin our lesson today in the 18th chapter, John says, after these things, and not after them things that happened in the 17th chapter were done, not after they were completed, but after he saw that, he sees another vision here. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. In the 17th chapter, he said one of the angels that had the seven plagues told him to come, and he was showing the judgment of this great whore. But here he said another angel. We want to keep in mind that angels are messengers or representatives. They can be good or bad. They can be messengers for God. They can be messengers for Satan or evil. But this one came down from heaven, John said, and he had great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Whether this angel is symbolic of Christ himself or messengers of the gospel, it must, certainly does, have some relationship to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had great power, and Paul says God has placed his power in the gospel save those that believe it. Romans 1:16. Then he said the earth was lightened with his glory. The only way that God's glory has ever lighted the earth is through the light of his word. We said in the earlier chapters where the gospel came into existence in the beginning, and marvelous things that happened there, and then we followed through until the time when his light was put out. Now I believe as we study this chapter and go forward in the following verses, we're going to be forced to conclude that this is the second time the light of the gospel lighted the earth. After the dark ages, when the judgment of that great city that we read about began and her power was lost. He cried mightily with a strong voice saying, Babylon is fallen. Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now let us notice there that verse tells us that this is not the final and total destruction of that great city, of Babylon, but she's fallen, she lost her power, and listen to what it says she had become a habitation, she still exists, of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean hateful bird. That's the state she's fallen to. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. This tells us the reason why God's judgment has come upon this great city, for the wickedness that it has done and made the nation to drink of, participate through her rule with an iron hand over them. And I heard another voice from heaven say, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and ye receive not of her plague. Now let us notice this verse tells us beyond a doubt the time still exists that the strong city, this wicked church that God refers to as a wicked woman, symbolizes by a wicked woman, still exists because people are still in her. They're still involved. They're still in her darkness. And this is a call to come out of God's people. All right? God has called continually through the establishment of the church, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The method of God's calling people out from darkness into light has been through the gospel of his son Jesus. We know that that's the call through the gospel. And he said God has people in that darkness. Now how could they be God's people and be in that darkness? Because they hadn't had an opportunity. They hadn't had a chance. They hadn't had the light of the gospel. They hadn't ever had an opportunity to hear it. They'd been brainwashed and taken into darkness, into wilderness, by the shedding out of the light of the gospel. And here, as the gospel comes back, it's calling them, God's people, all that are honest, all that are sincere, Paul said, the gospel is God's power unto salvation to all that will believe, all that will accept the truth of the gospel. They're called out of this darkness. And the reason that you be not partakers of her sin, that you receive not of her plague, that you don't are not destroyed with her. For her sins have reached unto heaven. God hath remembered her iniquities. It's all known to God. None of it is secret. Reward her, he said, even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her work. And the cup which she hath filled, filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and know with it, and shall see no sorrow. She has exalted herself. She lived deliciously, the scripture said. And set herself up as being no with it. She'll never see any sorrow. But you know, we're taught in the Bible that if we exalt ourselves, we will be defaced. But if we humble ourselves, God will exalt us. The time for this wicked woman, which represents here a wicked church, a false religion, false doctrine, is coming because God is aware of it, and he wants her rewarded according to her own works. And we'll see to it that she is. But now he's telling his people to reward her. I don't believe that we can interpret that as to reward her with the same kind of punishment as carnal war and bloodshed. But how will we do that? Through the light of the gospel, through telling her, making her see where she stands, convicting her of her wrong. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. Death, mourning, famine, she should be utterly burned in the fire. For strong is the word of God who judgeth her. What do you mean burned with fire? We're taught that God's word is the fire. That it burns. It pricks the heart. It condemns those who do not accept it or live by it. And it said, strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. In the Hebrew letter, the 12th chapter, and verse 29. The writer said that, for our God is a consuming fire. We can go against God's word for so long. We can deny his truth and put it out of our hearts and our mind for so long. Let our minds be clouded and darkened by ignorance, superstition, religious confusion. But he said, the Lord is strong who judges us. Our God is a consuming fire. She will be burned. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her, meant for her, and they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. The people that have committed sin, communicated in darkness with her, they won't know part of her punishment. When they see what's happened, they said, she stand afar off for fear of her burning. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over, for no man buys their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, all fine wood, all manner of vessels of ivory, all manner of vessels of most precious wood, and brass, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, ointments, frankincense, and wine, oil, fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, horses, and chariots, and slaves, and the souls of men. You want to notice now, these verses I just read there from 9 through 13 talk about the wealth, the carnal possessions that have been gained by the kings of the earth through their association with this wicked city. And he says they're all worldly things. They will all come to naught. But it includes, and we noticed in the last verse, slaves and the souls of men. This great religious power that ruled over the world and kept them in religious darkness and ruled through the wicked kings, consorted with them to gain this world's possession and power, they have run over and possessed slaves, people that couldn't have to say, and the souls of men, destroying them. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from them. All things which were dainty and goodly are departed from them, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The end of it's coming, he said. But let us notice that still to be. He says, thou shalt. It's coming. You won't find them anymore. The merchant of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and waiting. You know, in Jesus' day, while he's here on earth, he talked about a separation of God's people in judgment when they would be weeping, he said, waiting, and gnashing of teeth. Here, John is seeing this in the people that have been brainwashed, dominated by this false religion. And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, and purple and scarlet, decked with gold, precious stones and pearls. All this stuff is temporary stuff. All this stuff is the stuff that will not last. As Apostle Paul said, the things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. All these temporal things will come to naught. And he said, for in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster, and all the company and ships, sailors, and as many as trade by the sea, stood upon all and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? They marveled that ever what they had trusted in being so great, it's all coming to naught now. What city has ever been known? What power like unto this great city? But it's all for naught because it's coming to an end. And they cast dust on their head and cried, weeping and wailing, said, alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea, by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she made desolate. Then let us notice verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and holy apostles, prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Back in the 6th chapter when we studied the breaking of the seals, and we studied where the 5th seal was broken, John saw the souls of them that had been martyred for the cause of Christ under the altar, and they cried out their blood, as we studied there in that chapter, cried out for revenge upon their enemies. And they were told that they must wait for a time until their fellow servants, fellow men, would be killed like they were. Here John is foreseeing this in the future when these people's blood will be avenged upon this great power. He said, God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Still future, he said, it shall be. But he illustrated it by a millstone that was cast into the sea. And with that sudden, that violent nature will her time of judgment come. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman, whatsoever craft be he be, shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all indeed. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. All the people of the earth had been deceived for so long by this great power. And the bridegroom, the voice of the bridegroom and the bride, all described here as hilarious partying that went on. Jesus said it would be that way even when he came back to earth again. As in the days of Noah, he said, they'd be marrying and giving in marriage, and having parties, and playing, and riding instead of being ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. And he's telling the fate of this great power and the people, that the merchants and the people, the kings that have consorted with her and been guilty of her wickedness, what it's coming to, because they've all been deceived. They let her deceive them instead of holding fast to the light of the gospel. In her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. all this wickedness is coming upon here because the blood of the saints, the blood of the prophets, the righteous people of God have been mistreated, they've been persecuted, they've been destroyed by this power. When I think about this, I think about what Jesus said to the city of Jerusalem when he entered into it, shortly before he was taken as a prisoner and led before Pilate, condemned to be killed for the sins of the world. When he came into Jerusalem, it was recorded in the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew, and he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft," he said, "would I have gathered your chickens, your flock together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wing, and you would not." He said, all the blood of the righteous prophets, from the blood of Abel down to that age, would be helped and passed upon that generation. And you know, history records, as Christ foretold in the 24th chapter of Matthew, that it would be, that Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, in something like 70 AD, was totally overrun and destroyed by armies, by violent carnal war. That is a shadow. He's talking here about a city that has ruined since then. A city that has been, is guilty of the blood of saints and prophets, people of the God, as the Jews had been in crucifying Jesus Christ, killing the prophets that were before him. He said in that chapter, said, "I sent unto you prophets, and some of them he killed," and so on. And he said, all the blood, from the blood of righteous Abel down to this day, don't be held against that generation. Think about then the generation or the city, the power that is responsible for the blood of the saints through the gospel. It's going to be held against this power that we're talking about here, that the last verse of the preceding chapter said was that great city which ruled over the kings of the earth. Next Sunday, the Lord willing, we're going into the 19th chapter, where this judgment continues until John is called to see the marriage supper of the Lamb. That means the coming together of the church. And I believe that the chapter that we have today is a chapter in symbolic language foreseeing, as John was allowed to foresee through these mysteries, the coming back of the light of the gospel at the end of the dark ages, when the time of Reformation brought the gospel back into language that could be understood, and the call back to establish the church of the Lord Jesus Christ here upon earth. Let us continue our study of this revelation in the 15th chapter next Sunday. Come back and be with us, and hope, pray, that someone else will be here to be with us in that day.